It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply.
Adios, degeneritos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 298. Yes, yesterday's episode went out to all my Canadians that were celebrating Family Day weekend. This one goes out to the Americans. I was going to say celebrating President's Day weekend, but I was informed it's a whole week for some of you people, you wild, wild Americans. So happy President's Day week to you all, and thank you for coming to the show. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. And my co-host will be celebrating a President's Day week by he'll kick it off by breaking down some Bellator, his favorite thing to do, breaking down Bellator events. He begged and pleaded to do this event, so we relented and let him handicap 5 Bellator fights for this coming weekend. So let's bring in the man of the hour himself now, Gumby Vreeland, aka Danny V. Hello.
You know, it's funny. I thought for sure when we put the poll up on the SGPN Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord, of whether or not they would want Bellator breakdowns or PFL. I was like, these people are like me. They don't want to talk about Bellator. And boy, was I wrong.
You were wrong. Maybe it was because they wanted to like do a prank on you. I'm not sure, because they know you don't enjoy breaking down Bellator. So maybe.
And maybe they are like me too, because then that's totally what I would have done to somebody myself. This is not a good Bellator card. I'm going to say that now. It's pretty bad, if we're being honest. And I will say PFL this week, which is what you guys are going to miss out on, although there might be an article coming to the sportsgamblingpodcast.com, so keep an eye out for that. It's got meaningful fighters on it for women's flyweight, a division we talked about a bunch on the last episode, and it's all people you've heard of. It's like Caitlin Neal's fighting and Helen Peralta's fighting, and I think I saw Greet Eckhaus was fighting, who's a Belgian fighter who I know really well. And like, there's just like a whole bunch of fighters on that card. There was like another girl who was on Contender Series. I'm trying to remember what her name was. She was the Australian kickboxer who got out grappled in her fight. So there's like a bunch of people who have been in meaningful fights. And yet here we are. We're going to talk about basically regional level Irish MMA.
He's you're still pushing it. It's too late, bud. You lost. You're still trying to convince people who won't hear this until after it's recorded. So
yeah, I know. It is over. I can't believe it.
Yep. So we're going to, if you're Irish, you're going to love this event, possibly. I haven't listened to Severe MMA yet. They do a whole breakdown of this as well. I'm assuming they're probably going to be high in it because there's a lot of Irish fighters on the card. But yeah, like you said, it's not the most exciting card. The main event actually is an interesting matchup, but we'll get all into that in one moment. I know you guys can't wait. First, WynnBET, of course, they're the ones that keep us in your ear holes. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same game parlays, aka WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100. Get $100 limited to state availability. And of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. So much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. On to the big show now. We've got Bellator. Actually, Do you want to recap this past weekend? I don't even know how you did with
I went 1-2 with LFA picks. Two fights got canceled, so yeah, that was kind of a bummer. You know, swing and a miss on a big dog, one in the main event, and then a kind of a big favorite in Ahmad Suhail Hassanzadeh kind of let me down. So 1-2, which isn't ideal. Yeah. But having two fights canceled kind of sours wanting to talk about an event at all.
Yep. Plus you want to get right to Bellator anyhow. So
yeah, I need so much time to talk about Bellator 291.
Well, we have actually odds now. I have to put down the odds now. I didn't have odds originally, but we're going to start with, we're just doing the main card, correct?
Is yeah.
That here?
Yeah. That's my preferred move.
Prelims on Bellator.
I sometimes can do some Bellator prelims, but they're usually pretty shoddy.
It is true. All right. Hang on a second. I'm going to get the first fight queued up for you all here after I get the odds. All right. I got the odds. We'll see if Gumby's going with a big dog in this one or not. It is boom, 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 boom. 145 pounds. So featherweights, Kieran Clark versus Leonardo Sinis. So you got Irish fighter in this fight. Actually, there's an Irish fighter in every fight except the top two, which makes it, I guess, Pedro Caballo is technically Irish at this point. So all right, Kieran Clark, Leonardo Sinis. Tell you about Sinis first. His nickname is Pitbull. So original. He's 11-5-1, one knockout, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. This will be his Bellator debut. He's won two straight fights. He's also won two of his last five. So he had a three-fight losing streak, and then he won two straight. He's not lost since January of 2020. He's won two straight fights via submission. He used to fight at welterweight and at middleweight. This one is at featherweight. So that's quite a drop down there. 2012 was his pro MMA debut. He's 2 inches taller than Clark. Don't have reach info for him. Plus 275. Clark, 6-0, one knockout, three submissions. All of his fights have been in Bellator. He's won three straight fights via finish. 3 years younger than Sinis, minus 350.
You got minus 350. Do I need to refresh my page? I don't mean to be hating on your odds early.
But... yep, minus 350 is what I got.
Oh, yeah, that changed. Oh,
what
man.
Was it?
It was negative 300 like 6 seconds ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and when it originally posted, I saw it at negative 200. Yeah, like by the time you guys hear this, it'll probably be negative 500. Yeah, Kieran Clark's the right play here. I think if you just look at the records, you're like, Clark's probably, you know, a little bit less experience. The Sinis guy feels like he's been around the block. Maybe he's got a, you know, a chance here. He doesn't. He's pretty bad, if we're being honest. I actually went back and I watched a couple of his fights because of the people on this card, he is the one I'm the least familiar with. And I watched the one he had won, his last fight at Hamara MMA Volume 2. Which took place in Turku, Finland, and where he was the co-main event against a Finnish dude. In just like wild striking that seemed to have no semblance of understanding in terms of distance and distance management. Like he just like was punching and completely unaware that he was not in the correct range to hit somebody. And then his grappling was just like, I'm going to squeeze you with my big William Knight looking muscles as hard as I can, which is part of why when you said, I don't know how he's going to get down to featherweight. He made featherweight the last fight, but he looks huge for a featherweight. You know, like he's a big meaty dude. You know, obviously not actually William Knight size. William Knight's a 205er, but like he's a big, strong dude. And it just looks like he is trying to squeeze somebody's head off with a takedown and just muscle it. And that's a nightmare game plan against somebody like Kieran Clark, who is, you know, he's one of the better looking prospects in Ireland right now. He's light on his feet. He bounces in and out well. He actually controls distance exceptionally well. And he's also really good on the ground, right? Like that's the thing about him that maybe people like the most about him is that like he's got a really sharp submission game. He seems to have really good positioning. And granted, he hasn't fought the like best of the best competition in Bellator. Like all of his fights as a pro have been in Bellator since he was in the like IMMAF European champs and world championships and stuff like that. So like he's mostly fought decent enough competition. So I'm not positive that his like jiu-jitsu positioning and holding people down is going to work real well, but it should work fine against this guy. Like I think he can pick him apart on the feet. I think he can sub him when he gets tired. Cause he's just like no management of distance or energy or anything from Sinis. This should be an easy one for Clark.
Yeah, they seem to have set up Irish fighters with some favorable matchups here. So we're moving on to the other side of the featherweight, not bracket, ledger, we'll say. The female side, Sinead O'Connor versus Janae Harding. 3 5-minute rounds. Hollow point, Harding is 6-6 with 4 knockouts. She's been knocked out twice, submitted once, 3-4 in Bellator. She's lost 2 straight and only won 1 of her last 4. She's not won a fight since November of 2020. She also is a pro boxer. She's 8 years younger than Kavanaugh, 5 inches taller, 5 inches reach on her. So quite younger and quite bigger, plus 205. KO Kavanaugh, 8-5 with 4 knockouts. She's been knocked out twice, 5-5 in Bellator. She's gone 3-1 of her last 4, including winning her last fight. That was about almost exactly a year ago. When she steps in the cage, it'll be almost exactly a year since her last fight. She's missed weight in the past at this weight class. She also was originally had fought down at bantamweight earlier in her career. Minus, what's she at? 265.
Yeah, so this is actually a rematch. I don't know if you know this. This
I missed that, yeah.
This fight happened about 5 years ago. And in the, you know, it only took one round. In that first round, Sinead Kavanaugh brought tons of energy, forward pressure, was pushing Harding up against the cage, was, you know, working her over, seemingly winning the round pretty easily. And then I'm not exactly sure what caused it. It looked like it could have been a knee. It looked like it could have been a clash of heads. But Kavanaugh walked away with a pretty gnarly cut, as we talked about on Sunday. Similar thing happened. And Harding wound up walking away with the victory. So that was 5 years ago. And I think in that time, Kavanaugh has gotten even a little bit smarter in the way that she knows that she needs to fight in order to win. She's become a little bit more reliant on grappling, cage control, stuff like that. Whereas before she was like, ah, I'm just going to throw with this person. And Harding is probably the better technical striker than Sinead Kavanaugh. Like she probably, you know, if we just turn this into a boxing match with no other, you know, aspects to it, I'd probably pick Janae Harding. But Harding has, like, you know, some suspect takedown defense. She sometimes is not the strongest women's featherweight you've ever seen in your whole life. And so, like, I think the fact that Kavanaugh has gotten smarter in what she's doing in terms of, you know, not boxing with a boxer, putting people up against the cage, taking them down when she needs to, and the fact that, like, Harding is on, like, a massive losing streak, largely based on, like, that she's getting outworked by bigger, stronger women at featherweight, you know, with the exception of beating Jesse Mele, who's, you know, kind of not Bellator-level competition even. So I think Kavanaugh here is probably pretty easily going to control the distance, pretty easily going to control the realm that this fight happens at. I maybe don't like that number because, as I said, like, you know, Kavanaugh originally lost the fight and is probably not a better technical striker in this one, but it's still not enough for me to be like, yes, go get whatever that price is on Janae Harding.
All right, Kavanaugh is the pick. Gumby is very chalky so far. Let's move to the next fight. We're going back to the men's side, up to lightweight, 3 5-minute rounds. Peter Quigley versus Bryce Logan. I will tell you about Mr. Logan first. He is 12-7, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once, 0-4 in Bellator. He's lost 3 straight fights. He's not won since July of 2020. He was the LFA champion, though, plus 155. Quigley, the showstopper, 13-7-1 with 3 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, 2-3 in Bellator. He's lost 2 straight fights. He used to fight at welterweight, 2012 pro MMA debut, 2 inches taller than Logan, 5 inches reach on him, minus 180.
So I'm going to break that tradition that you were just saying about being a little bit too chalky here, and I'm going to take Bryce Logan.
Really?
Yeah, I think the UFC was trying to give Quigley a fight here that I think was super winnable. And you know, Logan's on a pretty bad losing streak, right? Since coming over to Bellator, he's 0-3. But he actually has wins over really good dudes when he was in an LFA. Like, he beat Jacob Rosales, who is on Contender Series. He beat Dakota Bush, who is in the UFC. You know, he beat CJ Hunter. He fought guys like Grant Dawson and Tay Edwards and DeMarcus Jackson, who are all in the UFC. And really, when you look at the guys who've beaten him in Bellator, like, he split with Georgi Kerarkian. I'm always going to say that dude's name wrong. You know the one I'm talking about.
I do.
The Armenian dude who, shout out to Ryan H. Krakian is Armenian, right? I got that right.
I think so. Yeah.
It sounds Armenian, and he fights out of Southern California, so I think that's the right spot. But anyway, like, he's fought high level dudes, and actually that was only a split to Georgie, and like, no shame in that. I think the advantages he has here too over Quelli is that, like, Quelli is a really stationary striker. His hands sometimes are like high, almost like, I don't want to say it's a 100% Thai style, but he like does that like foot pickup on the front foot sometimes, like he's trying to feint either a knee or a push kick or whatever. And then his hands are a little bit higher, like he likes to do Muay Thai. Logan is a guy who's got really, first of all, really good counters. So he's not going to bite on a lot of those like fake front kick, push kick kind of deals. He's just going to let the guy strike, and then he's going to pop you with one straight down the middle. And it does come straight down the middle, which I kind of like about him. And then on top of that, too, he also has kind of sleeper good wrestling. Like, we maybe haven't seen it so much in Bellator, but like, if you go back to some of his LFA fights, especially that Rosales fight that I was talking about, like, he actually wrestles pretty well. So with Quelli being a guy who like is kind of a little bit heavier on his feet, is a little bit too stationary, I think Logan has got a lot of advantages there. I'll also just like quickly point out one of the other things I like about Logan, which is he does this like stance swish that like has a jab in the middle of it that is just like a really good way to take pressure off of himself. So even if Quelli does decide to dial up the pressure, I think he's going to deter it. So yeah, I like Logan here. And speaking of odds that kind of bummed me out, you said plus 155, right?
Yeah.
This posted it when I was looking up this morning, it was plus 250. And I know like the books finding the lines on a regional level show, right? Like they probably had, you know, I mentioned this in a previous episode, but they post these lines with really low maximum so that you can't like exploit them as they're trying to figure out where the line should be. So like plus 155 is probably more where it should be, but like, man, it looked like it was going to be a big number for a while, and maybe they liked the local, and it seems like people are seeing through that. So maybe get this one before it moves too much more too.
Yep. Apparently people are thinking along the same lines as Gumby. So maybe Gumby isn't so dumb after all with this pick, right?
I don't think so.
Of course not. You never think so. Co-main event is a featherweight battle. Pedro Carvalho versus Jeremy Kennedy. The Canadian Jeremy Kennedy. Let me tell you about Carvalho first. So The Game is the nickname. He's 13-6, 2 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 6-3 in Bellator. He's gone win, loss, win over his last 3 fights. He used to fight at lightweight. 2012 pro MMA debut. 3 years younger than Kennedy, plus 100. JBC, or the Bandit, you can call Jeremy Kennedy. He is 13-3 with 1 no contest. 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 3-1 in Bellator. He's won 2 straight fights. Last one via TKO. He went 2-1 with 1 no contest in the PFL. And I put 3-1 in the UFC. Was he 3-1 in the UFC or 1-3? Probably 1-3.
No. He was 3-1? 3-1. Contract dispute got him fired. Do you know who the one loss is to?
I can't remember, because Alexander
Volkanovski.
Who that?
Yeah.
Oh, the guy that just lost. That guy. Yeah, he's a bum.
I think it was a contract dispute, or
because us Canadians are greedy.
He thought he could get a better deal somewhere else. And did he go straight to Bellator? No, he went to Brave for a little while in between. Yeah. So like, yeah, I don't know how this wound up happening. It's a bummer, man.
Yep. So he's 3-1 UFC, was a regional champion as well. Used to fight at upper weight class and down weight class. So bantamweight and lightweight, minus 120. Is he going to win?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
This is my favorite pick on the whole card. So when I first started preparing for this fight card, I thought I was going to have to give the lines because they weren't posted yet for Bellator as of last night before, I was doing a little bit of it before we were talking about or I was watching the UFC card. And then on Sunday morning, I started putting it together and I was like, oh, odds popped up. I had Jeremy Kennedy lined at like negative 275. I thought for sure he was going to be a massive favorite in here, because if you watch Carvalho, he's kind of an awkward striker who like jumps in with his chin way too high. And like Kennedy, first of all, could exploit that, but more likely what he's going to do is exploit the fact that Carvalho just seems to not defend takedowns at all. Like, it just seems like he is perfectly happy just like, if somebody's going to take him down, he's like, cool, let's do jujitsu. And then he's in a bad position for chunks of the fight. And I really think people are sleeping on how good Kennedy is with his wrestling. Because, like, in his three wins in the UFC, he had 21 takedowns in those three fights. He was averaging 7 takedowns a fight, which is like, man, dude, if you're getting 7 takedowns a fight, and then he only really got stuffed by Alexander Volkanovski, like, he should, without a problem, take Pedro Carvalho down as much as he wants, especially because Carvalho does not seem to, you know, get underhooks, sprawl out, you know, do any of the things that you're supposed to do to keep himself off his back, because he seems happy to. So I think Kennedy has a massive advantage on the feet. I think Kennedy has a massive advantage if this hits the mat. I can't believe it's lined as close as it is, but I would say this is my one sure thing pick of the day.
Yes, sirree. The Canadian, got to go with the Canadian here. So good to see. All right, let's go to the main event, shall we? This is a good fight. You agree with that?
I do. Although I will say again, it's a rematch. So okay.
I forgot. See, I forgot about that as well.
We're doing it again.
We are doing it again. And it is this time it's for the belt. Dan, actually, was it for the belt the first time too?
It was not. It was actually a 3-round fight, which I'll talk about in a second.
Okay. All right. We got the returning champion Yaroslav Amosov versus the interim champion Logan Storley. So we have someone with the last name Logan and someone with the first name Logan on this card. And it's going to be five-minute rounds. They're going to unite the welterweight heavyweight championship of the world. I'll tell you about Storley first. Logan Storm Storley, 14-1. The one comes a split decision loss, I believe, to Amosov. He's knocked out 8 people. Sterling has. He's never been finished in fights. Amosov was his only loss. 9-1 in Bellator. He is the interim champ. He's won 3 straight fights. He's not lost since that one fight against Amosov, which was November of 2020. He was a collegiate wrestling champion, plus 145. The returning champion, Dynamo Amosov, 26-0, 9 knockouts, 10 submissions, 7-0, and is the Bellator champion. This is his first title defense because he was just off. What was he doing again? Nothing. I think he was on vacation, right? Fighting for his country against those invading Russians.
He was literally defending his country.
Yes, he was in the Ukrainian army. He's back now to fight. So he's not fought since June of 2021. Was a regional champion as well. Used to fight at middleweight, 2012 pro MMA debut. He's a multi-time world sambo champion as well. He must have a big mantle at home, Dan. He's a year younger than Storley, 2 inches taller than Storley, 4 inches reach on him, minus 170. Are we going to see a repeat of the first fight here?
So I'm going to talk about the first fight in just a second. But before I do, I just want to give I need to have a caveat at the beginning of this breakdown. Because, like, I don't think you can break down this fight without mentioning the fact that he's been away defending his country. And we have questions about, like, what does that mean for MMA? And it's so silly to talk about that, right? Because, like, obviously what he was doing is more meaningful than any of the goofy shit that we're talking about here, right? Like betting on Bellator cards in Ireland.
What? That's not goofy?
It is more meaningful than that. But I will say this, like, you almost have to set aside, like, all of your questions about, like, what he was doing, because, like, it's impossible to handicap. Like, could he have been doing combatives? Sure. Could he have been still training when he could? Sure. Could he have had a full training camp? Sure. But also, he might not have. And we have no way of knowing either one, and I don't think you can weigh it too much into the breakdown. So I'm just going to, first and foremost, put that aside. Now, speaking of their first fight, it's an interesting one because it went down as a split decision. I saw it for Amosov. I think he was in control of things early. The interesting thing about that fight was Storley didn't really get any of his grappling going until late. So if you watch that fight, Amosov seems to stuff all of the takedowns he has early. He's clearly a much better boxer than Logan Storley. Like, the knock on Logan Storley seemingly is like, he's a great wrestler and he doesn't do much else. His win over Michael Venom Page recently was a split decision win. And it was because he spent, like, you know, an hour in top control. And most people argued that he didn't do anything in that whole hour. And some of the rounds could have been given to Michael Venom Page for 2 punches. So, like, he doesn't do much, and he got stuffed a ton early against Amosov. And then as the fight went on, it seemed like his cardio held up better than Amosov. He started getting some of that grappling going. I think he took his back once in the third round, if I'm not mistaken. He definitely won the last round of that fight. And some people might extrapolate and say, well, you know, if Amosov is slowing down, then Storley is clearly like the guy who you would pick in the championship rounds. And I still don't think that's necessarily wrong. But here's what I'll say. I'm going to go with Amosov here anyway, because I still think he's going to stuff those takedowns early. I still think he's the one who can get things going with the boxing. And I also think we're just kind of sleeping on how good of a submission specialist he can be at times. Like, I know he hasn't gotten tons in the UFC, but like, this is a guy with like 100 anaconda chokes on his record, and he's gotten like Dars chokes and front chokes, and like, he's just very good at what he does. And failed takedown attempts set up to a Dars or an anaconda so well. So like, if we get, you know, if we get Logan Storley late in the fourth round or in the early fifth round, you know, kind of shooting an exhaustion takedown, like, I think the likelihood that Amosov can lock something up here is pretty decent. And in addition to that, I think he's going to have the first couple of rounds banked anyway, because he's just going to, like, you know, he's got kind of like a longer jab and a straight that he throws down the middle. And like, you know, he can do the right thing striking while Storley is looking for his takedown attempts. And I also think he's just going to stuff enough of the early ones. So I'm going to go with Amosov here. I will say, I hope that line comes down a little more. You said negative 170.
Yes.
Yeah, negative 170. I know when it originally posted, it was much higher, I think because he had won the first fight. And now it's coming closer and closer to even, which, like, you know, that's probably right. Like, originally, I had this one pegged at, like, you know, Amosov negative 135, negative 140, somewhere in that range. And so, like, it's coming down. I might wait because I think it will probably come down more. But yeah, I like Amosov here.
All right. Let's recap it. He's got Amosov. He's got Kennedy. He has Logan as his underdog. He's got Kavanaugh and he's got Clark. Is that correct?
That's it.
All right. We were so excited to jump into this. I forgot to tell you when it's happening, where it's happening, all that jazz. It's Bellator 291, Amosov versus Storley. It's Saturday, the 25th of February, 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, if you're in the Eastern time zone. Main broadcast is on Showtime. Prelims are on YouTube. Or if you're in Canada, it's all on YouTube. And it's going down from the Three Arena in Dublin, Ireland. There you go. Now you know where to find it. And we'll be in the Discord talking about it. Right, Dan? Especially you.
Yeah, sure.
You're going to watch it. Are you going to put any money on this IRL in real life?
I mean, like, if that Jeremy Kennedy line's pretty damn juicy.
Yeah.
I think you got to love that one. And if that Amosov line comes down, you know, I really do like watching him fight. Like, I think he's kind of fun. So, like, if that line came down a little bit more, we might be talking.
Oh, I also forgot to mention there's 18 fights on this card, man.
That's because they're just filling it with anybody Irish that they could find who enjoys fighting.
Well, will someone watch all of it? Jong, maybe? I'm not even sure if he's hardcore enough.
I don't even know if they're televising all of it.
Yeah, YouTube. Prelims are all on YouTube, I think. But
wonderful.
You never know at Bellator. Some of these fights may be post-limbs. They may happen after the main
event. I really do hate a post-limb. I hate it. Something fierce. They have a good LFA fighter on this card, too. I completely did not see that she was on. Jenna Bishop is on this fight card.
Yep.
She's a good one. So maybe I'd tune in. I wonder, do they got odds for all? They do have odds for all the weird prelims. Jenna Bishop, negative 245. That's
get
good.
Get in the Discord. Dan's going to give up picks. Yeah, bonus picks, right?
That's Jenna Bishop, parlay fuel. There's a bonus pick right there.
There you go. All right. We told you about Discord. Twitter is SGP and MMA. Gumby runs that. He also runs his own account, Gumby Vreeland. I'm Jeff Fox, writer. All our writings and everyone else's writings are at sportsgamblingpodcast.com for every sport underneath the sun. Apparently there's a bunch of spring football leagues that are happening. We got you covered there. All our podcasts are there. All our discounts at sports books are there. All our giveaways are there. The bosses are always giving away free stuff. So definitely get in there. And our store, of course, go buy some cool MMA gambling podcast gear at the store. You can read my other MMA writings at moneymma.substack.com, and you can listen to Gumby talk more MMA wax poetically about MMA at Top Turtle Podcast, which comes out, what, midweek usually, right?
Be a little bit earlier this week. I got the interviews already in the can again, so...
Go ahead, tell everyone.
Yeah, I'm talking with Jose Johnson, coming off the Contender Series, about to make his UFC debut. And I'm talking to Trevor Peak, also coming off Contender Series, about to make his debut. So a couple of Contender Series guys, and they've got some pretty wild stories. Trevor Peak tells a story about fighting for the first time on one day's notice in an unsanctioned MMA fight in a basement somewhere. And it's as wild as you would think it is.
And I'm sure there was betting lines somewhere for that as well. Yeah, in our Discord probably bet it.
Maybe, although it was quite a while ago, so.
Yeah, you never know. All right, Gumby, take us home. We'll be back actually Wednesday with UFC talk for your ear holes.
All right. So I am Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He is JBC Jeff Fox, and we... We'll see you on Wednesday.